Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
He'll get you the sports any way that he can. It's Mike Francisco.
From the studios of WFAN, this is Mike Zahn, Francesa on the Fan, on this Monday, the 29th day of the month of October, the trading deadline one day away. We're halfway through a football season, and we don't have one in New York. That's basically it. The World Series has come to a close, always a time, and congratulations to the Red Sox. They earned it. We're done with the Kershaw thing to talk about, that's for sure. But that's usually a time you turn your attention completely to the football season as you get to the month of decision. You see people start to make their moves and their push for the playoffs. And instead, we have no season at all. At 3-5, the Jets are about where I thought they would be. I think Sam Darnold's done exactly what we had hoped he would do. I think they're on course for next season. I think this is about what everyone would have expected. Add another half to it about the same and get ready to, you know, use up that $90 million of money that you have and bring in some new people and some new draft picks and take a real run at it next year. The 1-7 on the other side in the NFC is obviously not what we expected. For the second straight year, the Giants now have become just about as bad as any team in the league. And this year it has gotten... Last year, you could understand it with the injuries. You could understand what was going on with the coaching staff. There was enough reasons that you could just say, wow, it's just one of those years, and you chalk it up and you move on. This year, it is so much tougher to take and so much more frustrating on a daily basis than just see it time after time. Now, shouldn't be any surprise that the Redskins ran for the amount of yardage they did yesterday when you send one of the premier run stoppers in the league packing, you got to expect that to impact the team. You send two defenders off your defense like that. Plus, I didn't think the defense played badly. The problem was, again, the same problem that has been there. Yesterday morning on the football show that I do on the app, the Football Sunday show, I talked about this. There were two numbers that just jumped out at you with the Giants. One was they just don't score touchdowns. Eli doesn't throw touchdown passes, and they don't have any wins. That's what it really was about. Eli had every number you would want as a quarterback. He was seventh in the league in yardage. He was 69% at completion percentage. He had plenty of different things. He only had four interceptions, and then he had that seven touchdown passes in a league where, you know, the norm was to have 12, and the top five or six guys all had over 16. So, I mean, that's the problem, and you saw it again yesterday, time and time again. The offensive line was abominable. The pressure was awful. Eli succumbed to the pressure and made some bad plays. He did too. We had our regular requisite drops yesterday, led by the one on fourth down to Ingram right through his hands at a pivotal time just to start the fourth quarter down a touchdown. But the frustration time after time, and the Giants now are starting to become very artful at putting up the late touchdown that makes the game look closer than it really is. They've done that now a couple of times in meaningless fashion. But hey, if you want, it doesn't matter anymore. For those of you who want to make it about the quarterback, God bless you. Make it about the quarterback. The bottom line is, this is a total disaster. This is not about Eli anymore, because this is now a long-term project to fix it. This is about, from owner on down, the fact that they have to look at the job they're doing. From owner to general manager to head coach to coaching staff to every player on that roster, and decide what's wrong and how to fix it, because they are going absolutely nowhere. And it is so obvious what it means when it works. I mean, look at what the Colts have done in taking a team that 2 years ago did not have, they had such a poor offensive line behind a great quarterback that they put the guy in the hospital and almost ruined his career. They have now put an offensive line together that is producing, you know, a couple of straight weeks of him not being touched, 222 yards rushing, 239 yards passing, not a turnover, not a sack, 42 points, and they've done it overnight. Put a guy in there who knows what he's doing, and he said, I'm going to put an infrastructure in front of this quarterback. He's already done that. Watch how quick now. He's done it so quick that this team is coming quickly. That just shows you it can be done. Now, they had the quarterback in place, and he's in the prime of his career. I understand that. But the point is, if you can know where to get the guys and know how to pick them, within a short amount of time, you can build that offensive line in front of a player or in front of players. They are going to be left here with a back who is going to very quickly get old if you don't figure out how to open a hole for him. And yesterday you had more changes on the offensive line, and you're still going with what are intricate pass protections that they can't handle and wind up getting him almost, you know, beat to a pulp back there. I mean, how many times? Do you know there was I think the number was he's over 105 pass pressures on dropbacks this year. 105. I mean, it's insane what's going on with that line. They can't do anything, and then everything falls apart behind that. And that's what has to, you might as well start right there. And again, there's no one's making it about Eli Manning anymore, because this is not about this year. And if you want to see a backup quarterback in front of this line and you think it's going to be better, then you don't know what you're looking at, because it's not going to be better. Because if they were driving the ball and Barkley was running the ball and on first and 10 he's throwing interceptions, you'd say, wow, you know what? They got to get somebody in there to play. This guy, this quarterback has thrown 6 interceptions this year. In 300 passes. That's not the issue. Yes, he threw a bad pick yesterday, but that's not the issue. The issue is you have no way of fixing this year. So you can do whatever you want. You basically might as well go to Laletta, you know what, and put 2 tight ends in there, put a fullback in there, and you know what, try and see if you can block it for the running back. That's all. Might as well. It can't get any worse. It cannot get any worse. I mean, they ran the ball yesterday for 37 yards. They can't run the ball all year. He's had a couple of big breaking plays, but other than that, I've illustrated to you on numerous occasions, they get nothing on first down ever. They can't block. They can't run block. They can't pass block. They have been an absolute joke. And it has led everything else to fall apart, and it has fallen apart, and they can't score in the red zone, and they can't get in the end zone. That's all it is. They can't throw touchdown passes, and they can't run it, and they can't get it in the end zone. They can't score any points. The Giants have played 8 games, and you know what? They've scored. You know, it's amazing that they've scored as many points as they have, to be honest with you. Scored 150 points because they've had a couple of explosive games, but for the most part, we know how tough it's been for them to get in the end zone. And yesterday, another example. I mean, you know, how many times? How many times are you going to watch it? And all different kinds. Every, you know, it's not one guy. It's not. It's all of them. It's everybody. It's just, hey, tired of talking about it. I really am. And it hasn't gotten any better. It has not gotten a lick better. And I'm sorry. That's on the coaching staff. I'm sorry. You got to improve your. You got to improve your team. You got to be able to improve your team. You can't be making the same mistakes you're making. You can't be making the same protection mistakes making in week 8 that you're making in week 1. It cannot. It has not gotten any better. Not in the lick has it gotten better. And you could actually make a case that they looked better when Flowers was playing than when he's been out. I hate to say it. They might have played better when he was there. And we all blamed him. So the trade deadline's tomorrow. We'll deal with that, obviously. Up until 4 o'clock tomorrow, will any Giants go? Does not sound like... First of all, the odds on Beckham going are so rare, and then when you throw his contract in, it becomes even rarer. That would be mind-boggling to me that that happened. So I would be shocked. Could another player go? Absolutely. Is Eli going? Sounds like he's not ready to waive his no trade, even if somebody came calling for him, and I don't see anybody coming calling for him. So I would think the odds are he's going to be here. And if you want to put... If you're dying to see Laletta play, go ahead. God bless him. Good luck to him behind that line. If you think it's going to get much better, then he's a heck of a player. Because he's going to be doing it with no protection. Because we haven't seen even hide nor hair of any protection yesterday. 7 sacks. So here we are halfway through. Again, I'm not disappointed in the Jets. I did not think they'd beat the Vikings or the Bears, and they went into the Bear game shorthanded. They are trying. I know a lot of people who are Jet fans want a referendum on the coach, but that's the way it always is. You always want to get rid of the coach. You always want to get rid of everybody. I mean, every fan wants to get rid of any guy. Yeah, listen, you want to get rid of... There's people who want to get rid of Girardi when he wins 95 games, so obviously you're going to want to get rid of a coach with a losing record. So I understand that. I understand that's the motivation, but this team is breaking in a quarterback, and they are moving in the right direction. That's what I take from that, and I think they should have a better second half than they had a first half. They're 3-5 in the first half. You see some things you like. I see some things from Sam that I really like. I think he's fine. I think he's doing everything right. I think in the long run, everything's going to be good. I think they are a year away, and next year is big, and they have all the resources to do it, and it'll be on them. And then McCagnan can make a decision whether or not he wants to go forward with Bowles. That's his decision, too. I understand that's a tough decision. He can make it one way or the other. I can live with it, whether they keep him or let him go. I can live with either one. If I see Bowles with really good players that for a year, I can live with that. If I don't, I understand that, too. So whatever decision they make there, I'm fine. I don't think he has to go. You can't see the worst thing you can keep doing is changing coaches. Then you're the Cleveland Browns, who today, what'd they do? Change their coach. What do the Cleveland Browns continue to do? Change their coach. Now, the problem with the Giants fans is you got a Cleveland Brown coach. That's not good. You got a Cleveland Brown coach. But remember, Bill Belichick was a failed Cleveland Browns coach. So there are exceptions to every rule. But the Cleveland Browns today fired Hugh Jackson, fired Todd Haley, and made Greg Williams, who is out there, let's just put it there, is out there as the head coach. There will be blitzing. There will be personal fouls. You can count on that. That's from the offense I'm talking about. Just kidding. But Greg Williams takes over, the trade deadline tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a Met Day. We have not had many of those. The press conference, and it will be on the air. We checked. At 2:30, it will be on the air. Just wanted to make sure, but it will be. And then we'll have the Nets' new general manager and the owner with us. It should be, those things usually take 45 minutes or so, an hour, and then we'll have them with us. So that'll be a Met Day tomorrow, and you'll also have Sherman tomorrow. We'll have Eli today. We'll have Albert Breer today to give me the trade updates. Albert's with me every Sunday morning on a football show. He's doing a really good job, so we'll get him today. And he predicted yesterday morning that Cleveland would happen. So yesterday morning with us, Albert Breer predicted Cleveland would happen. So he said, watch Cleveland today. You're going to get a big rumbling with Hugh Jackson and Haley, and he was right on. He hit both of them right on the head, so good job by him. So he hit that right on the head. And I'll tell you, yesterday, just to show you that all is not lost, I finally saw a football game that restored my faith in the NFL. Green Bay and the Rams was a real, live, honest to goodness, yes, there still can be a real NFL football game. I finally saw one, folks. I finally saw one yesterday. Hard-hitting, real football. You know, amazing, you know, Montgomery brought the ball out and didn't give a fry. And he was told by the head coach not to bring the ball out. And he brought the ball out. And he fumbled the ball, and Rodgers didn't get his shot. So, wow. Everyone's waiting for Rodgers to get his shot. On Friday, I picked the. I should have gone 3-0 yesterday. It ticked me off because how did the Bengals? Fitz has got to beat me yesterday. I beat me by a half point. It's the fifth game I've lost by a half point this year. But he beats me. They went in by four touchdowns, and Fitz comes off the bench and throws all those touchdown passes again. One is with Fitz. Now you got to let Fitz play again because now, you know, Winston throws four touchdown passes, and Fitz comes in and puts up 18 points in the fourth quarter. Brings him from 21 down and loses it at the end of the game. And since he wins by three as a 3.5-point favorite after they were winning by 21 points with a minute left in the fourth in the third quarter, that hurts. But my point was about that. I wasn't bringing the picks up because of that reason. The reason I brought the picks up was I picked the Packers. And I made the point on Friday, I never saw Aaron Rodgers that kind of underdog. That was officially the biggest underdog Aaron Rodgers ever was in his entire career was yesterday's game. That was the biggest, and he had a chance to win it. That was the biggest underdog he had ever been in his entire career quarterback. It was 10 on Friday. It went to 7.5 for the game, and that's, you know, but still the biggest underdog he ever was, and he had a chance. We're going to get the ball one more time, and Montgomery runs it out and fumbles it. And then Gurley, I know, could have covered the point spread for you Ram guys, but you knew that if he got a smart runner there, is going to take a knee once he breaks it. Not going to score. Ends the game. If he doesn't end the game if he scores, puts them up 9 with a PAT because they're up 2, but goes down, doesn't go in the end zone. We've seen a lot of that. And, you know, yesterday Andy Reid did it again. Andy passed on a field goal again yesterday. When he's up 7, line was 9, and he passed on a field goal again from inside 50 yards in the last minute. Didn't take it. Ran it 3 times into the line and punted it. Did not take the field goal. Inside 50 yards. He's not making any friends in the city the last 2 games. But he's making a lot of friends with the 1-loss record, that's for sure. So that's where we are. We got a lot to do today. So tomorrow will be a Met Day and a Pat Shermer Day. Today is an Eli Day, trade day both days, trading deadline 4 o'clock tomorrow. We got all that and everything else. We'll get it all rolling right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.